As always, but especially this weekend, beautiful readings, rich readings, so much that we could say as we make our way now into Advent a little further. Second Sunday we are celebrating now, of course. And as I mentioned at the start of Mass, on the second Sunday of every year, no matter what the cycle, ABC, we are introduced to John the Baptist. And same thing for next Sunday. We're going to get John's take on John. Mark drops off for a week or two here. So John the Baptist is with us today and next Sunday. I think to frame the whole reflection this morning, though, rather than hanging on John specifically, because next weekend is so much more about him, we'll get to him later. We can frame the whole conversation this morning in the context of what I call geography. Geography both in the literal sense and also, let's call it, the geography of the heart, a spiritual geography. And the geographical feature, which is front and center in today's readings, especially in year B, it's really emphasized, is that of the desert, or the wilderness, more properly. We find ourselves today in the wilderness. So what does that mean? Geographically, it means a couple of things. It means in the case of the readings, so Isaiah, this is from a portion of Isaiah that as best we can tell, it's a theory, was probably written down when the people of Israel were in exile from their homeland in the 530s or so BC at this point. So the wilderness for them means out of Jerusalem, away from Zion, temple is gone, homeland destroyed, in exile in Babylon, so they're across the desert. Wilderness means they're not in their normal natural habitat. And what is Isaiah talking about? About God's desire to bring them back home. Wilderness in Isaiah. Wilderness also in the case of the gospel, and Mark is intentional about this. His opening verses begin in the wilderness. We are meeting John the Baptist out there. This is what's called the Judean desert, which is the situation or the landform east of Jerusalem and south along the shores of the Dead Sea. Nothing out there, very barren. That's where John the Baptist appears. That is where a whole multitude go out to hang around with him for a while and listen to him preach, and there they are baptized. So wilderness in the gospel, wilderness in the first reading. Why is it that Mark wants John the Baptist in the wilderness and wants us to be there too? Why do we care if Isaiah is also there too? The reason is because, and I will get to a point, I promise, the idea, if you're an Israelite or a Jew, is that when one hears wilderness, when one knows this is in the story, one's mind goes to certain things that are very important, that one must understand to get what the church wants us to know about Advent and about salvation. For Israelites, wilderness is a sacred time. It means something in their history. It means something in their bones, because they had key wilderness experiences in their lifetimes. Like Americans hear Pearl Harbor, or hear 9/11, or hear Plymouth Rock, and we think certain things, or like the frontier. If you're Jewish, you hear wilderness, you think certain things. You think back especially to the formative wilderness event, which wasn't Isaiah, actually. It was one before that, when they left Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea, and they found themselves for 40 years wandering in the wilderness, and in that time, all these important things happened to them. So wilderness means this time period for them that's very sacred. What are the themes that they think about when they hear wilderness if they're Jewish? They think about two driving things. One of them would be that their wilderness experience was a time of testing. That's where they doubted God. It was true in the Moses story. They said to God all throughout the entire long experience, why are we out here? Where are you going? What are you doing? We're going to die out here. Are you really with us? Do you really care? They asked for food. They asked for water. They asked for shelter. They asked for the whole thing. They poked at God the entire way, saying, like kids on a car trip, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? This is the wilderness story. So they tested God in their fear. They didn't trust him. So they always remember, for years and years after that, wilderness, quote unquote, as a time where they tested God. Same thing for Isaiah. In the exile, they were quite unhappy about the situation. They thought they had been cast off. They thought they were done. They made a huge mistake. The question is, does God care if we're over here in Babylon or not? They questioned him all the time. But that's not the only theme. They also figured out years later, okay, and during the same experience, that not only was it a time of testing, they also look back on the wilderness as a time where God was especially close to them. It's where he kind of like formed up this partnership with them, almost like a spousal honeymoon kind of thing, like God saying, you know, we were alone in the desert for all this time. You couldn't run away from me. And I took care of you, and I fed you, and I clothed you, and I gave you water, and I gave you the law. I brought you in. I brought you into my heart. So the wilderness is something of a romantic thing where it's like we were out there all by ourselves, just you and me, God says. It's a good time. Wherein your testing, which was your mistake, gave way to trust, and your fear gave way to faith. Those are important things that happen in the wilderness. So here, wilderness, in our ears, if we're Jewish, we're going to think all these important things. A time of testing, but also a time of God's love and constancy and fidelity. And they figured out, long story short, that they had to go through it. They had to go through it. It was a rocky time, but it was a fruitful time, and they gained from it. So when one hears wilderness, all that comes to mind if you're an Israelite. This is why Mark has it in his gospel in the beginning, not only because John was out there, but because Mark wants to make the point that we too must pass their own kind of wilderness experience. Same idea. People who come to understand that there's going to have to be a time of testing in life, where there is probably some lack of trust on our part, which we want to give way to faith. There's times of fear and anxiety that must give way to hope and trust and love. Wilderness is going to be on our horizons too, Mark says. That's the point. Isaiah and John the Baptist, to pick up on this a little further, each offer their own way to get through the wilderness, and they both have to do with God's action and our own actions. How do I mean that? In Isaiah's case, he says, look, in the wilderness, fine, the time of testing, fine. God wants to come and rescue you. He wants to come right to your doorstep and take you, whoosh, home, okay, out of here. For him to do that, Isaiah says, you must clear away the obstacles. What's standing in the way? He's borrowing images, so he says, you know, make straight the highways. If you are living in Babylon at the time period, and you're Jewish, you would have spent the last 40 years watching Babylonian festivals on their major deity holidays, wherein they graded out the roads real smooth to carry their false gods in procession down the highways. That's what he's picking up on. He's saying the real God, the true God, not those false gods or neighbors, he wants to come on the highways too. So if they can clear out the roads for their false gods, surely, Isaiah says, you can make a straight highway for the real God. Clear away your idols. Clear away your sins, and most importantly, clear away whatever you're afraid of. Because typically, if we would get down to it, whatever leads to a lack of trust, to a testing, to our poking at God, to our sins, has to do with something that's rooted in fear that must be cast out. So Isaiah, look, you're in a wilderness, you want to get out of it, clear away the obstacles because God wants to come and rescue you. John the Baptist, same thing. Make straight the highways. God wants to come. It's going to be the Savior. And in John's case, he links it to acknowledge your sins and be baptized. In his case, it's something like a confessional baptism. And in so doing, let God be in charge. Let him take away your fears. Let him confront within you what is dark and take it away. That's how we get through the wilderness. That's how we move from the time of testing to a time of trust. A place of fear to a place of faith, as God shows us all along the way, I never forgot you. You thought you were in the desert, you thought it was forsaken, you thought it was awful. The fact is, I was there, I was present, I heard you, I helped you, and we grew together. You and me, God says, it was a good thing. Look back at now, you realize, oh yeah, this is a time of growth, the wilderness, and I got through it in these ways. Why labor on these points? Because I want us to understand that the pattern in these scriptures of wilderness, of testing and faith and how to get out of it, is a pattern that must get repeated all throughout history if any of us is to come to deep faith in God. And I would submit to you that in its own way, 2020 is a bit like a wilderness experience for us in so many respects. Here we find ourselves, much like the Exodus story, much like the exile story, much like the Judean desert, in something of a wilderness in our world, surrounded by things that probably are giving us anxiety and fear, just like they did way back then for these nice people. Could be lots of things, right? I mean, you know, what makes us sort of desert-like these days? What's our wilderness experience? It's not geographic, it's of the heart. Fears about COVID and a pandemic, so there's certainly anxiety about that. We hear about it all the time. Maybe that's on our minds, upending life, isolation, lockdowns, quarantines, you name it, okay. Fears about maybe the political direction of the nation as we keep making our way through a very rocky electoral process this year. Where are we going? Where have we been? Who is in charge? What's it going to mean for us as Catholics, for our nation, for our world? These are anxious kinds of things to many of us who take it seriously. Maybe it's the changing nature of our streets, the cultural realities that are shifting around us, of changing generational dynamics and priorities in the country. Maybe it's economic. I mean, you know, the economy is on the rocks right now with all the pandemic things. Where's my job? Where's my paycheck? Am I going to be open next week if I'm a business or a restaurant? I mean, you can pile anxiety on top of anxiety right now. If that's true, I think that it is, then we find ourselves in these readings. Exodus, exile, Judean desert. And we should therefore also find ourselves in the same dynamics. God wants us to realize we have to pass through this for a reason. There's a pathway through it. And God wants it to come to us in it, just like back then. So same thing, maybe for us, wilderness means, like the Jews, we're going to test God and say things like, where are you? Why the mess? Are you paying attention to America at all? To your world at all? You're going to give us a cure for a virus or a fix to our economic woes? Or we could poke our finger at God all the time saying, are you paying any attention? Just like the ancient Jews, sure. I think, though, that what God wants us to see as we come through it is what he taught them. I've always been with you. The testing that you're going through right now is to teach you to confront your anxieties, to confront what you're afraid of, to rest firmly on the foundation of me. So face your fears and move from testing to trust and move from fear to faith and realize that through it all, I love you. I've not walked out on you at all. I'm near you. I've never left. I want what's best for you, and I allow this like I allow every other wilderness experience. It's going to test you, but you look back and realize I carried you through it, and you'll understand my love for you in an even deeper, more profound level. How do we get through it? Isaiah and John the Baptist give us the same answer. Confront whatever you're afraid of. If there's idols, if there's obstacles, hit them head on. There's something in the way of you trusting God, whatever it is out there, give it to the Lord. Pray through it. If there are sins, acknowledge them. If there's wayward behavior, change it. And whatever you can possibly do, Isaiah would say, John would say, welcome the Lord, because he wants to come. Always, always, always. So treat this, long story short, year 2020, like a necessary experience. It feels like a desert. I get it, God says, but I've been with you before in the desert. It always turned out fine. And in the end, you realized I brought you through it. I brought you through it. This is all good for Advent, you know. We have this on a second Sunday for a reason. The church wants us in this short season of faith to recognize that we are, in fact, in a wilderness. We must cry out from a position of need. We must understand that we need a Savior. We cannot do it on our own. And for God to come and rescue us as a child once upon a time, as Lord right now, we have to employ the same tools to get through the wilderness as they did once upon a time. Trust, trust, trust. Conversion, repentance, acknowledgement, clearing away the idols, taking God's gifts that he gives to us, the water from heaven, the manna from heaven, the law he wants to pour into our hearts. That's how one gets out of the wilderness into the promised land of ultimately heaven, the whole goal. So in light of all that, what might be my prayer for Advent as we go through it a little further, yours and my prayer? Might be this. Am I in a wilderness? I think yes. If I'm afraid, What am I afraid of? Why? What is it that keeps me up at night? What am I anxious about? And how has God invited me as I go through Advent to hand it over to Him? If there's idols in my life, false gods of security or whatnot that I worship, how do I get rid of them? If there's sins, how do I change them? If there's fears, how are they mastered? How am I going to let God come right to me, right down the open highway, and take away from me what's burdening me, making me anxious, holding me bound? He wants to liberate me from all of it. And this mess of 2020 is His way He's chosen to do it. Get that, okay? If I'm afraid of something, I got to hand it over. Got to hand it over. And in that way, God will have His Advent, His coming. He'll come into my heart, my world, your world, and He'll lead us to the wilderness, the fullness of the promised land. Not geography, but the land of heaven and the freedom of the human heart that God desires for all of us who are His beloved sons and daughters.